I'd like to begin this session by asking you a question. Is everyone in your church at the same level of spiritual maturity? And of course, you laugh at that question because obviously they're not. Churches are made up of people of all varying degrees of spiritual commitment and spiritual maturity. You have some people in your church who maybe attend and aren't even Christians yet. They're just considering the claims of Christ. They're just checking you out. And then you have other Christians who are brand new baby believers. They've just received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Then you have other Christians that are on their way to spiritual maturity. They're growing, they're developing. You have others that are actually serving in your church and have a ministry. And you have those that are sharing their faith and have grown to that position that they're now even leaders in your church. In this session, I would like to share with you a way to think of your church in terms of spiritual commitment levels. One of the ways that you can think about your church is that you not only have five purposes, but you have five purposes that you do with five different groups of people, five different target groups. And these target groups are based on their level of commitment and which purpose they are committed to. Let me explain these with a diagram we use at our church that we call the circles of commitment. Five concentric circles explain five different levels of spiritual commitment. Look at this. These circles represent five different levels of commitment that correspond to the five purposes in your church. You do ministry in the core. You do discipleship in the committed. You fellowship in the congregation. You worship with the crowd. And you do evangelism in your community. Now, it really doesn't matter what you call these five circles. You can make up your own name for them. But what they do represent is five distinct levels of spiritual maturity. I'd like to explain them from the inside out. So notice this diagram. First, at the center circle, we have the core of your church. These are the people that are the most highly committed people in your church. They are the people who do the ministry in your church. They sing. They are musicians. They are Sunday school or Bible school teachers or small group teachers. They may be deacons in your church or elders. They are the people who prepare all of the different ministries and programs in your church. The core in your church is the smallest group of people because they are the people that are the most involved. The next group out, the next circle, notice is a little bit larger because you have more people in this circle than you do in your core. We call this group the committed. Do you have people in your church who are spiritually mature and they're growing to spiritual maturity but for one reason or another are not serving in your church? Well, of course you do. We call those people the committed. At Saddleback Church, we ask them to make a commitment to three habits for spiritual growth that I will explain in another session. They take a class called How to Grow to Spiritual Maturity. And these are the people that are having a time with God every day in reading their Bible and praying. They are supporting the church financially with their tithes and offerings. And they're involved in a small group. These are the committed people in your church. They are committed to growing spiritually. The next group out is a little bit larger group that we call the congregation. These are the actual members of your church, the people who are part of your church family. Do you have people who are part of your church family who are neither mature nor serving in a ministry? Well, of course you do. And we call these people the congregation. They're the people who are not just attending your church, but they are committed to the other believers. And even though they may be immature, they are committed to your church. The next group out is a little bit larger circle because it represents probably a larger group. Those are the people who come to your worship service. Now, probably you have people in your worship service at many different levels of commitment. Some are very committed, like those in the core. Some are growing to maturity, like those in the committed. Some are actual members of the church, and you probably have some people who come to your church services who are not even Christians yet. At Saddleback Church, we call this group the crowd because it's a pretty large group of people. And all they are committed to is simply coming to a worship service. And then the largest circle of all is your community. That's everyone within driving distance or walking distance of your church in your village or in your town or in your city. The community is your fishing pond when you go fishing for men. These are the people that you want to reach for Jesus Christ. Now, the strategy of a purpose-driven church is to move people from the outer circle into the inner circle. In other words, first you want to go out to the community and reach people in the community for Jesus Christ. You want to tell them the good news, and you want to help them come to know Jesus Christ. And you want to bring them eventually to a church service. When they start coming to a church service, they have moved from what we call the community into the crowd. The crowd of the people who come to your church every week at different levels of commitment, but they're committed to at least coming to church. Once a person accepts Christ and they are baptized and they join your church, they move from the crowd into the next circle, which we call the congregation. These are the actual members of your church. They move from just being an attender of your church to actually being committed to the body of Christ and being an active member of your church. Then it is our goal to move people from the committed into the from the congregation into the committed. The committed are the people who are growing to spiritual maturity. And we want to help people not just be a part of our church family. We want them to make the habits that are necessary for spiritual growth. We want them to make those habits a part of their lives. Now, the strategy of the purpose-driven church is to move your people through these five levels of commitment. Move them from the outer circle into the inner circle and then back out. You move them from the community, the people around you who don't even know Christ, to the crowd, where they come to know Jesus Christ and they come to worship. And then you move them from the crowd into the congregation, where they're baptized and become a member of your church family. And then you move them from the congregation into the committed, where they commit to the habits for spiritual growth and begin the journey towards spiritual maturity. And then you move them from the committed into the core, the center of your church, where they are committed to having a ministry and a life mission in the world. What do you do with the core of your church? You move them back out into the community so that the process repeats itself over and over and over. When you study the ministry of Jesus, you discover that Jesus always started where people were, but he never left them there. He would start with people at their level of commitment, and he would accept them at that level of commitment, but he would gently move them into deeper and deeper degrees of commitment to Jesus Christ. What we've done with this little outline is to show you five levels of commitment that you already have in your church. As I've talked about these five circles, you probably in your mind were even thinking of actual people that you know that fit into each category. Now, with this as a basis, realizing that there are five purposes of the church and there are five different levels of commitment, then let me give you now nine ways that your church can be a purpose-driven church. Number one, if you were starting a new church, you were a church planter, and you're beginning a brand new church from nothing, build it on one purpose at a time. Build it on one purpose at a time. Let me give you an example. When I started the Saddleback Valley Community Church many years ago, the first year, my whole goal was to first target the community and begin to tell them about Jesus Christ. And I began to just go door to door in my community and meet people. And I began to explain the good news and how they could come to know Christ. And then I began to build a worship service that I could bring people to that would be an evangelistic worship service. During that first year of the church, about all I was able to do was to start a worship service that was evangelistic and invite people to come from the community into the crowd. As that church crowd began to grow, little by little, the second year, I began focusing on moving people from the crowd, just coming and hearing about Christ, into the congregation, where they began to make commitments to membership. And I began focusing on how to turn attenders into members. The third year, I began turning up the heat a little bit, trying to call for deeper commitment to Christ and challenging people to go deeper in their spiritual life and grow to spiritual maturity. I wanted to move them from the congregation into the committed. And I began to teach them deeper truths about the Lord. And then the fourth year, I began to move the people in the committed into the core, where they began to build ministries and began to develop individual ministries that God would use them in our community and in our church based on their gifts and abilities. Now, that may sound very slow, but you need to remember that it takes time to grow a healthy church. If you are already in an existing church, you're not starting it just from the very beginning, you can move much faster through these circles. But you add one purpose at a time. Once you have all five purposes going, then you begin to build a balanced church that does all five things. But it's hard to emphasize them all at the start if you're just getting started in a brand new church. You can use these circles of commitment as your strategy. What I'm saying to you is this. If you are planting a church from scratch, from the very beginning, grow your church from the outside in, not from the inside out. Now, this is the exact opposite of what you may have heard in other seminars or books or things like this. Many times we're taught, start with a core group and get them very committed to Jesus Christ and get them deep in discipleship, and then you can go out and win your city or village for Christ. Actually, the opposite is true. The longer Christians spend time together, the less effective they tend to be evangelistically. The most effective people for evangelism are brand new believers because they have the most contacts, the most enthusiasm, and they're not afraid to share their faith with unbelievers because they were unbelievers just a few days earlier. What I suggest you do is you start in your community, getting to know the community, discovering what it's like, and then you begin to invite them to a service that you've planned for them, an evangelistic service that's geared for non-believers. And in a future session, we'll talk to you about how to do that. And then as they begin to come to Christ, you baptize them, bring them into membership, into the congregation, move them into the committed, growing for spiritual maturity, and then further on into the core. You start with your community, not with the core. Now, what I've explained to you, I've shared in just a few minutes, but it does take a lot of time. But don't get discouraged. When you're going to build something that lasts, it takes time. When God wants to make a mushroom, He takes about 6 hours. When God wants to make a giant tree, He takes 40 or 50 or 60 years. Now, the question is, do you want your church to be a mushroom or a giant tree? Something that's going to be solid and last and builds for eternity takes time to build. But you build it on one level of commitment at a time. A second way you can be purpose-driven and controlled by the purposes of your church is to develop a program for each of the five purposes of your church. You know these five purposes: worship, evangelism, fellowship, discipleship, and ministry. But you need a specific program to do each purpose. Let me give you the example from my own church. At Saddleback Church, we have a major program that focuses on each purpose with each of the five levels of commitment. For instance, for evangelism, we do evangelism in the community, and we have what we call our bridge events. We call them bridge events because they're a bridge between the church and the community. And what we want to do is build a bridge between the church and the community so that Jesus Christ can walk across. Sometimes our bridge events are simply things like we recently had a party that we invited our entire community to. And we had games, and we had food, and we just had a party, and we welcomed people to come and just have fun with us. And other times we've had special events, music events, special speakers events. Of course, Easter is always a big bridge event where we want to invite people to our Easter service and things like that. Then we have a special program for the crowd in worship, and that is our weekend evangelistic service. And that service is specifically designed for our Christians in our church to bring their friends to. And everything we do in that service, the songs we sing and the prayers that we pray and the kinds of messages that I teach are all designed so that you could bring a person who has no background about Jesus Christ. They know nothing about the Bible. They know nothing about Christianity or the church, but you could bring them to this service and it would be understandable. It's shared in a way that makes sense to them. So our weekend, Sunday and Saturday services are our big programs for the crowd. For the congregation, The key program for the congregation is our small groups. We tell people, you're not going to really feel like a part of our church family until you become a part of a small group. It's in that small group that you will get known by other people, and they'll get to know you, and you can share your prayer requests, and you can be prayed for, and they can support you when you're going through difficult times. And so the key program for our congregation, the members of our church, is our small groups, where they find that one-on-one, heart-to-heart fellowship. The key program for the committed, that's those who are growing to spiritual maturity, is what we call our midweek service. We have a special service on Wednesday nights where people come for in-depth Bible study. And this is for people who are really growing, for those who have made the commitment to grow to spiritual maturity. And that is not designed for non-believers. We don't bring non-Christians to our Wednesday night midweek service. It's only for those who are committed to growing spiritually. And then finally, our key program for the core, that's those who are involved in ministry in our church, those who are the leaders of our church, those who are actively serving Jesus Christ in some form, we call that our leadership training. And we have leadership training at Saddleback Church once a month, where all of the leaders and all of the lay ministers and all of the people involved in the different ministries of the church, small group leaders, children's teachers, worship musicians and leaders and things like this, they all come together for leadership training on a monthly basis. I would suggest that you develop a program like that for each of your purposes. Now let me say this. No program is meant to last forever. Programs change, and something that works for 4 or 5 or maybe 10 years may need to be changed, and maybe you need a new program. The purposes will never change, but the programs will change quite frequently, because as your church changes and grows, you will need new programs. A third way that your church can be controlled by the purposes of God is to set up a class for each purpose. Design a class that teaches about fellowship, that teaches about worship, that teaches about spiritual growth, that teaches about how to have a ministry and how to share your faith. At Saddleback Church, we have a series of classes that we teach that we encourage every member to go through. They are called our Saddleback Basic Classes. And the first class is a class for new believers when you first become a Christian. And then there is a class called How to Become a Member of Our Church. And it tells about what it means to be a part of the body of Christ and what it means to be committed in fellowship in the church family. Then we have a class called How to Grow to Spiritual Maturity, which you take after the other classes. After you've taken that class, you could take a class called How to Discover Your Ministry. And then after you've taken that class, How to Discover Your Ministry in the Church, we have a class called How to Share Your Faith, or How to Discover Your Life Mission in the World. Now, again, we use a symbol to help explain these classes to the members of our church. You know, in America, we play a game called baseball. You may be familiar with this, or you may have never heard of it, but baseball is a game where a man tries to hit a ball with a bat, and then he runs around a series of bases. It looks kind of like this. Now, since everybody in our country understands the game of baseball, we like to use it to illustrate our classes that we offer. And we like to move people what we call around the bases, moving from first base to second base to third base to fourth base, which is called home plate. Now, in your country, you might want to use another diagram or illustration. I know some purpose-driven churches in Brazil that use a soccer field to illustrate the steps of growth in the classes, going down the field until they finally hit the goal. I know some purpose-driven churches in Russia that use a ladder to illustrate the steps of growth, going up the first step, the second step, this third step, and the fourth step to growing to maturity. But in America, we like to use the baseball diamond, where we say a person gets to first base, when they have committed their lives to Christ and they have been baptized and joined the church. And we have a class there which is called our first class, class 100 or class 101. And this class is a class for helping people understand what it means to be a part of the church. Once you've gone the first step, you need to go to the second step and take the second class, which we call our second base class, and that is called Discovering Spiritual Maturity. In that class, we teach people the habits for spiritual growth. Once you've finished the second class, you can then go and take the third class, Class 301, or Discovering My Ministry. In that class, we teach people how to discover their gifts and talents, their abilities, how to discover what God shaped them to do in ministry. Once you've taken that class, you may go to step four, which is the fourth base, class 401, discovering how to share your faith, or discovering my life mission. I would encourage you to develop some materials for classes in your church and begin to help move people from purpose to purpose to purpose. Move them from evangelism to worship to discipleship to ministry, and then back out sharing evangelism again, all in the context of the fellowship of God's church. A fourth way that your church can be driven or controlled by the purposes of the church is to form your small groups on purpose. When you form a small cell group that meets in a home, you should insist that each group emphasize all five purposes, that the purpose of the group is not just for fellowship. It's not even just for Bible study, but each small group should also worship, and each small group should also have ministry projects, acts of service that they can do together, and each small group should have the goal of evangelism, of bringing new people into the small group who don't know Jesus Christ, who can come to Jesus through a personal relationship with Him. If you will develop the small groups around the five purposes, then basically what you're doing is having each small group fulfill the five functions, the five purposes, the five reasons of the church. And your church will grow healthier and grow stronger at the same time. A fifth way that your church can be controlled by the purposes is to organize your volunteer workers by the purposes. Now, in your church, if you were to take a survey of all the people who come to your church, you would find that some of them feel very committed to worship, and others are very committed to helping Christian grow, and others are very committed to sharing their faith with non-believers, and others are very committed to helping people when they hurt and do ministry to them. And as I've said before, God brings all kinds of people together with different, what we call heart, different passions, where we all feel passionate about a different purpose. And He puts us all together so that all five purposes get emphasized. Now, the way you can do this is to organize your church by teams. Have a team that makes sure that you do evangelism in your church, and have a team of people that make sure that Christians are growing, and have a team of people that make sure that every person in the church feels loved and cared for, and that there's strong fellowship. And have a church, have a team that helps design your worship services, that leads people into the presence of God. If I were starting a church over from the very beginning, here's what I would do. Let's say that I went to a village and I found some people and I told them about Christ and they became believers. And I had maybe 8 or 10 people in a small group. And I said, we're going to start a church together. The first thing I would do is help each person there identify which purpose they feel the most passionately about. I would find someone who'd say, you know what, I really want to help people feel a part of the family of God, and I want to care for those who are actually the members of the church, and I want to make sure that everyone is loved and that their needs are met within the church family. And I would say to that person, would you be my first step leader? Or in America, would you be my first base leader? And I'd say, would you help me teach a class for new members? And help? Would you, then after they become members, would you help me make sure that every member's need is met and they get visited and they get cared for and they're loved? And then I would find someone who really had a heart or a passion for helping believers grow. And I would say, would you be my second step leader, my second base leader? And your job is to help me teach the class how to grow to spiritual maturity. And your job is to help me plan all of the Bible studies and classes and special events that we will do to help Christians grow. And maybe your job is to help me find some Bible verses that we can memorize. And each week together, we'll memorize a Bible verse together. And the second step, a leader, the second base leader, would be the person responsible for the purpose of discipleship. Just like the first step leader is responsible for the purpose of fellowship. Then I would find somebody who really had a heart or a passion for helping every Christian find their job, their ministry, their place of service. And I'd say, would you be my third step or third base leader? And your job is to help me plan the How to Discover Your Ministry class. And in that class, we'll teach people how to discover their spiritual gifts and their heart and their passion, and help them to look at their past and realize that God can use all of the experiences in their lives to be effective in ministry. And you will help me make sure that every person in our church has a place to serve. And that's your primary responsibility as the third base or third step leader. Then I would find somebody who had a heart for evangelism, to reach the world. And I would say to that person, would you be my fourth step or fourth base leader? And your job is to help me train the Christians in our church in how to grow to share their faith and develop the kind of testimony that they can share with other believers, other unbelievers. Then I would find someone who really had a passion for worship. And I would say, would you be my worship leader? And would you help me plan worship services so that when people come to church, that God's presence is felt and God's power is demonstrated and God's word is taught with clarity so that people can come to Christ and so that Christians can grow. I would find five different people to each be a champion or a sponsor or the leader in each of the five purposes. Now, if I only had a church of 10 people, I would already have five of my people involved in leadership. And as the church began to grow, I would add other people helping in each of these purposes. And as the church began to grow larger, we would begin to build a team of people. So there wasn't just one person committed to helping the church stay balanced, but there would be many, many people balancing the church in each of the five purposes. In fact, your entire church can be organized around these five purposes, so that everyone serves on a team that's committed to one of the five purposes and is committed to reaching one of the five targets. Doing evangelism in the community, doing worship with the crowd, doing fellowship with the congregation, doing discipleship with the committed, and doing ministry with the core. This will produce balance, which will produce health, and health produces growth. A sixth way that you can build your church on purpose is to preach on purpose. What do I mean by that? I mean that if you are the pastor and you are preparing messages, then you can constantly be asking yourself, am I giving equal attention to each of the five purposes? And in a year's time, you should do some preaching on ministry, how to find your ministry and the importance of every Christian being a minister. You should do some teaching on maturity, how to grow to spiritual maturity. You should do some preaching on worship. How can I hear God's voice? Learning to listen to God and to discover His will. And how can I best worship God with my heart and with my soul? You should do some teaching on fellowship. And that is, how do we build relationships? In many countries, the Christians come to church and then they go home and they never really get to know each other. That's not God's will. God wants us to be a family. God wants us to act like brothers and sisters in the family of God. And so you need to teach people how to build relationships and friendships with each other in the family of God. And then you should do some teaching on evangelism, how to share your faith, training your people, how they can teach the good news to others, and also sharing the good news that they can bring friends to hear the plan of salvation. A seventh way that you can build your church on purpose is to plan how you spend your money, the money of the church, by spending it on purpose. Don't just spend all your money on evangelism. Don't just spend all your money on discipleship. Don't just spend all your money on one of the purposes, but balance it so that the funds that you that people give through their offering are used to make sure that the church is balanced so that there can be health. And every amount of money that you spend should be spent on one of the five purposes. Otherwise, if it's not a purpose of the church, don't spend money on it. Then number eight, you can plan your calendar by purpose. What do I mean by that? I mean, give emphasis to each purpose on different months of the year. One month you might emphasize worship for the entire month, explaining how we grow in worship. The next month you might emphasize ministry and how every person in your church should have a ministry. And you teach on ministry and you have people sign up to join a ministry or to start a ministry. There could be a month that you emphasize fellowships. And during that month, you give a special emphasis to making sure that every person in the church is a part of a small group where their needs can be met and they can be prayed for. I think you can understand that with only five purposes, you can give each purpose 2 months of emphasis each year and have plenty of time left over to do some other things. Then finally, you can evaluate your church by using the five purposes as your standard. You need to continually be asking yourself, is our church doing what Jesus expects it to do? Are we meeting the five purposes of the church, or are we out of balance? Are we emphasizing one purpose, like spiritual growth, and neglecting evangelism? Or are we emphasizing evangelism and neglecting the ministry of every Christian? Or are we having the ministry of every Christian, but we're not really going deeper in our worship? Use the five purposes to evaluate your church to make sure that you have balance and health. In closing, let me give you what I call the four priorities of purpose-driven churches. This is the order in which you should have things in importance in your church. The most important thing in the church is the purposes of God. If we do not fulfill the purposes of God, we've missed the point of being a church. And so the purposes come first. They're what we give our heart to. They're what we pray for. They're what we work for. They're what we give our attention to. The purposes are the most important thing. The second most important thing in the church are the people of God. Now, people are important, but they're not as important as the purposes. Because if you make people the most important thing in your church, then you have a club or you have an organization, but you don't have the church of God. People are simply to fulfill the purposes of God. The third priority in any church are the programs. Programs are the activities and the events and the studies and the classes that you plan to help people fulfill the purposes. The programs should never be the most important thing in any church. They can change, they will die, and you'll get new programs, but the purposes of God will never change. And then in last place is property, a place to meet. Many people often think that the property is the most important thing. In fact, many people think a church is a building. A church is not a building. You don't need a building. The church that I pastor, we went for 15 years using homes and using parks and office buildings and schools and many, many different places. In fact, we used 79 different buildings before we ever got a permanent location where we would meet. And our church grew to over 10,000 people before we ever built our first building. So you don't need a building. Always keep that in the proper priority. It's not most important that you have money or buildings. What's most important is that you have people fulfilling the purposes of God. If you do that, God will be pleased, your church will be healthy, and growth will come automatically. Now, as we close this session, I want to pray for you that you will be used of God to build a purpose-driven, purpose-controlled church in your city, in your village, in your town. And in the sessions ahead, we're now going to take each of these five circles and each of these five purposes and go into more greater detail on how you move people from the outside to the inside of your church. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for creating the church. Thank you that it is the most amazing creation that you've ever created. I pray that you would help us to build purpose-driven lives and purpose-driven churches, that we would build the church of God on worship, evangelism, fellowship, ministry, and discipleship, that we may be healthier and grow greater for your kingdom's glory and for our own growth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.